Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
My next guest has a simple idea. If we want children to behave better, we must make them feel better. Okay. Her name is Sarah Oakwell Smith, and her new book has a title Every Parent Will Know. Because I Said So is the title of the book, which is quite clever, and explains her ideas on how we can change the world by gentle parenting. I'm delighted to say Sarah is on the line. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Are you based in the UK?
I am in England, yes.
Lovely. Whereabouts are you? Just because I'm nosy.
Really near Cambridge.
Oh, lovely. Okay. Now, listen, look, you wrote recently about this egg crack trend on TikTok, and I couldn't get my head around it because I'd never seen it before or heard about it before. But can you explain it and why weird viral trends like that should make everybody really concerned?
Gosh, yes. So it was a couple of weeks ago on TikTok, and this trend started where parents would film themselves and their young children, so babies, toddlers, 3, 4-year-olds, I think was the oldest I saw, and the parents got a raw egg, and they'd be baking with their children or something, videoing the whole thing, and randomly they would crack this raw egg on their child's head. Completely unexpected, and 90% of the children would cry. A couple of them just looked very confused and upset, and there were one or two actually who picked up another egg and cracked it back over the parent's head, which I kind of applauded. But it became this trend, and I think the last time I looked, there were 80 million shares or usage of the hashtag egg crack challenge, and it just became this massive thing that everybody thought it was so funny. Look at how confused they are, and they were just laughing at these toddlers who didn't have a clue why their parent had suddenly done this to them and had raw egg running down their face and were saying, oh, it really hurts. But adults find it really funny. And the trend before, I don't know if you saw the cheese slice challenge.
Yes, I did see that.
The people were throwing processed cheese slices at their babies' faces. And it's just weird, isn't it?
That is weird. But I find the egg crack one more disturbing because it's quite violent and would hurt. And the processed cheese is... I know it's the same. It's the same.
Scary,
similar. It is quite scary.
Yeah.
I just think if I did that to my kid, they would be scarred for life. I don't think they'd ever get over something like that.
It was quite interesting, actually, where the parents then tried to do it themselves when they started to be a bit of a backlash. And most of that, she said, oh, I didn't realise this actually really hurts.
Yeah.
But and the argument is, I think, for a lot of the things that we do to children, they won't remember it. And actually, a lot of the time, they won't remember it if they're under 3 or 4, because that's how memory works. But what does happen is it does kind of change their wiring and the way they're conditioned to understand the child-adult relationship. And if we speak to trauma specialists, a lot of trauma is actually kind of encoded in the body. So there's not a specific memory, but the body remembers, as wacky as that might sound to a lot of people. So no, even if there isn't a memory, you know, that's not an excuse for treating them badly.
For the sake of a TikTok video.
For the sake of a few likes and shares.
How would you explain the idea of childism?
Yeah, so in the book I talk about this thing called childism, which is like any other ism, so sexism, ageism. Actually, ageism should include children. It's discrimination based on age. But in our society today, we think ageism is just about the elderly. So we're quite conscious of treating the older people in society well and not discriminating against them because of their age. But we forget on the flip side of that ageism, there are children. And we might think we treat children really well. I've spoken to a lot of people about this who say, Sarah, kids are spoiled rotten. We mollycoddle them. They get everything they want. You know, it's so much better compared to when I was a child. But that doesn't talk about the way that we treat them, the way that we relate to them, the way that we discipline them, and the small microaggressions, I guess you say, that they experience every day from adults because they are children.
Can you give me an example?
So, I mean, the egg crack challenge is a great one.
Yes.
The examples change from sort of vary from political and sort of a whole societal issue, which is, you know, how poorly politicians treat young families and children, like, so we're not supported to really care for them in the way that we really need to anything from in where you are in Ireland, smacking was banned in 2015.
Yeah.
Actually, not that long ago. Where I am in England, it's still legal.
Wow.
Completely legal to hit your child. I can't hit anybody else without going to jail or being arrested, but I can hit children. Or slightly more minor things. So the way that we discipline them with lots of coercion and control, which if we acted that way towards adults, we would rightly call it coercive control, which is a form of recognized abuse. But with children, the way that we shame them, we exclude them. So in schools, we have isolation booths, isolation rooms, where if teenagers are struggling for some reason, they are sat in isolation away from their peers. And the only time that would happen to us as adults is if we were in prison.
What would you say, because I know there's going to be a lot of people listening, thinking or saying to themselves, but the problem is kids have no fear these days.
Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of people confuse fear and respect. And older generations, you know, myself included, that's why I called it Because I Said So, because that's what I heard a lot when I was growing up. And I thought I respected adults who made me fearful of them, whether that was parents or school teachers. But I've come to realize the older I get that fear and respect are very different. Sure, I would be compliant and obedient and do what they told me to do, but I didn't respect them. I was scared of the repercussions for not doing that. And, you know, for me, respect is something, it should be a universal thing, that we should respect everybody as standard. But ultimately, with parents and children, respect needs to be earned, and it needs to be earned by parents being a great role model, by being the person they want their child to be. And if you want children to be calm and polite and respectful of other people, you have to treat them that way. It's, you know, very much do as I say, yes, not do as I do.
Yes, yes, you're and so right.
So when we're talking about obedience and compliant children, the other thing we also need to realise is actually a lot of this isn't very good for them. So, you know, at the moment there's the news about Russell Brand and people saying, why did these women not speak up earlier? You know, there's a lot to unpack that's completely irrelevant to childism. But as children, we were taught to not speak out when something happened to us that we didn't like. We were taught that we didn't have a voice, that people in positions of power and control could do what they wanted with us, and we had to be obedient and respectful and compliant and quiet. So there are huge repercussions from potentially what would happen in adult relationships. Children are more likely to bow to peer pressure if they were raised in an environment where they were obedient and did what they were told. They weren't used to exercising their voice with their parents in a safe place. And we raise a heck of a lot of people pleasers. So I always talk about, I'm a chronic people pleaser. As a child, I was a good girl. I did what I was told. And I've carried that with me into adulthood. And I find it really hard to set boundaries and say no to people. I feel this like internal drive that I must always be good and not rock the boat and do what's expected of me and help people out. And that's been very much the detriment of me and my mental health and my kind of well-being as an adult. And it's so common that we see this pattern as children grow up. Mm. You know, when they're younger, we might want them to be obedient and compliant, right? Because, you know, I've got four kids. It's really hard. We would really like to have obedient children. But the problem is, what's easier for us today is not necessarily best for them as they grow up.
I hear you. You're making so much sense. You, just sticking with discipline for a second, can you explain briefly what your alternative is? You know?
Yes. I talk a lot about gentle parenting, which it's really weird for me because I've been talking about it for like a decade and a half now, and nobody sort of knew what it was until about 3 or 4 years ago when it exploded. And people are like, it's come from nowhere. I've been talking about this for so long now. But so for me, gentle parenting is simply treating children like you would like to be treated yourself. It has loads of discipline. It has loads of boundaries, but we utilize those based on an understanding of child development and what the children are capable of at any particular age. So a lot of children get punished for having a child brain. So toddler tantrums, as irritating and difficult as they are to manage, are completely normal toddler behavior. We can't discipline or punish a child out of having tantrums because it's because of the way their brain hasn't finished wiring in the areas responsible for emotion regulation. So the discipline that we have is very mindful of, am I punishing my child for being a child? Am I expecting them to be better than I am? But we do have boundaries. So absolutely, I say no lots. I would stop any dangerous or violent behaviour. I would physically move a child if I had to. I'd get in there and sort of separate them.
Okay.
If a child's throwing a ball at another one, I take the ball away from them. But the difference between what I do and more traditional discipline is, once I've done that intervening, and I call it firefighting, so dealing with like the in the moment desperate need to do something, afterwards, when everybody's calmed down, because too many adults then get very stressed and anxious and shouty, and they almost join in their child's tantrums by adding their own dysregulated emotions. So you take a breather, you calm down, you be the adult. And afterwards, the key difference is I would then teach the child, which is really all discipline is, tell them why it was inappropriate, teach them what to do better next time, and then we would reconnect. And if I shouted, I'd say, I'm sorry for shouting, what you did was wrong, but the way I reacted was also wrong too. Whereas traditionally, that would be followed up with a quick smack on the bottom, sending upstairs to their room, taking away a favourite toy for a week, telling them that they can't go to a party. And there's just more punishment and more punishment laid on. And we call it an illogical consequence. So punishments that have nothing to do with the original behaviour, they're just, you know, the parent almost doesn't know what to do. So they're just adding punishment upon punishment upon punishment. And the child can't learn from that because there's no logical link between their behaviour and what they've done. But it also causes more of a disconnect between parent and child. And what you find with children who were raised with sort of harsher discipline, as they get older, there are huge problems because the parent is no longer in control when their child is now 6 foot and bigger than them, and they won't stay on the naughty step or in timeout, or they're just not scared of them anymore. And you see so many parents struggling when they have teenagers because all they know is coercion, control, punishment, and my teenager doesn't listen. Whereas what I do, I have four teenagers and I have an amazing relationship with them because I've always taught them from the beginning, there's certain behavior that is completely unacceptable. And I have these boundaries and you will follow them when we have house rules. But ultimately, what matters more than anything is my connection with you and the fact that you can talk to me about anything. And I will do my best to respect you and not embarrass or shame you or make you feel worse than you already do.
What do you say to the idea that 2000 years of experience have brought us this far and your ideas are a bit soft and woke?
Yeah. Yeah, I get that all the time.
So
what's really interesting, is in the book, there's a whole section on childcare history. And actually, it was in about the sort of the late 1800s to the early 1900s. So we're talking like sort of 100 to 150 years ago. We had this strange new phenomenon of the childcare expert materialize. And every single one of them was a man. Every single one of them was a medical doctor. And every single one of them didn't seem to like children very much. So you've got the likes of kind of John B. Watson, who invented kind of conditioning and a lot of what sort of behaviorist dog training is based on. Now, so there is a good side to behaviorism, but there's also a very murky underbelly. So these people basically felt that children shouldn't be nurtured too much. They felt a lot of the problem was that mothers in particular were too soft and that they coddled their children. So they gave instructions, don't ever kiss them. If you really must kiss them, only do it once per day and on the forehead only. Don't cuddle them too much. In fact, don't cuddle them at all. Watson actually said it would be much better if we had homes for children and we took them away from the mothers and we raised them with discipline, because mothers ruin their children. And this sort of advice carried on for quite a long time and was echoed through childcare advice right up to sort of the 80s and 90s. So it's...
That's really interesting. Sorry, I'm just going to make a really weird comparison because you just said something there that just maybe... I recently got a dog, right? Okay, now I know it's completely different. But dog training has changed completely in the last couple of years, because all the dog training, you know, maybe 10 years ago, and all the myths of dogs wanting to be dominant and all this kind has been debunked. And now it's all about reward. And I would say gentle dog training. Now, I have a dog now and
Isn't
I had a dog.
It's weird. Dogs are not children.
And the dog is way better behaved than the dog I had 15 years ago who, you know, if he, you know, weed inside, you put his nose in it and throw him outside or whatever. Remember that old thing?
And shock collars, you know, electric shock
collars.
Yeah,
I know. It's awful when you think about it. Now, I don't like to make the comparison, but it's quite similar in the fact that we need to change our way of thinking, because the gentle, what we were doing before doesn't, has implications as well. But this idea of gentle parenting, because I know there's a lot of, we've been talking about teenagers and kids quite a bit in the last couple of weeks with social media and all that kind of stuff. So this might be an answer or something to try.
It works for dogs. Why would we do it for children? This is what I'm talking about. We literally discriminate against children. We even treat dogs better than we treat children. And it's, yes, what I'm saying, it is kind of new, but it's also how we would have parented instinctively before these men came along and told us we were doing everything wrong. So it's trying to get better. I don't believe anybody instinctively feels the right thing is to make children feel bad or to hurt them. But we have all this noise around us, all these opinions, and we have a lot of, there's no kind of like easy way to say this. We have a lot of people who were damaged and hurt in their own childhood because they were on the receiving end of these methods. The people who say it never did me any harm. But then these people who say it never did me any harm are the people who say it's okay to hit children. And you think, well, if you believe it's okay to hit children, is that not an illustration that actually it did do you harm?
It's a really interesting topic. The book is amazing. It's food for thought, but everybody needs to go out and get this book. It's called Because I Said So. Sarah, thank you for joining me this morning.
Thank you for having me
Good luck with your four teenagers. What are the age ranges?
They're not actual teenagers. I forget.
Oh, Grant. Oh, my God.
An 18-year-old, a 19-year-old, and a 21-year-old. So I've got one who's technically not a teenager.
Okay. Well, good luck with that. Thank you so much for joining us on today's show. That is Sarah Oakwell-Smith. Her new book is called Because I Said So. It's out now. Really interesting stuff. Food for thought for any parent out there.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.